I think it's very fitting that a sailor sang about the anchor holding. Speaking of Brother Ryan Eshelman, for 8 years in the United States Navy. Is that right, Ryan? 8 years. Praise the Lord for the song tonight, men. It was a blessing, edifying and uplifting to the Lord. Genesis chapter 1 in your Bibles this evening. Genesis chapter 1. As we delve further into this subject of the home and viewing it as heaven's embassy on earth, making our homes heaven's embassy on earth, and parents viewing themselves as ambassadors of Christ in the lives of their children, our marriage being a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in our home and to our children, to our grandchildren, but also to others around us. Genesis chapter 1, and I want to do this evening what Jesus did 4,000 years after creation, when a question about marriage and divorce and remarriage was posed to him. And it came to troubles that were facing the institution of marriage in his day. Jesus gives us an example, and I want to follow his pattern tonight. When he was asked a question by the Pharisees, is it lawful for a man to put away or to divorce his wife for every cause? He answered, Matthew 19, and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause, because of the creation of woman and the making of man and woman, male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And Christ's example to us, 4,000 years for him after creation, when asked a question about marriage and the problems facing marriage, his appeal was to the beginning. And our appeal must be to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man, the idea of mankind, humankind, created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Notice this, male and female created he them within the creation of mankind. He then divided the genders, male and female. Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. Here's the end of the sixth day. The creation of mankind. And then the making of woman out of man. And behold, it was very good. And evening and the morning were the sixth day. In chapter 2, then God begins to go back and to give a more detailed explanation. In particular, as we move over to verse number 18... of God's creation of the woman after the creation of man on day 6. Notice verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And all the men said, that was weak, guys. Okay. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And then notice verse 24. After the creation of woman, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we continue this series on the home, heaven's embassy on earth. I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled, Marriage, the Match Made in Heaven. Marriage, the Match Made in heaven. Let's pray. Father, would you give us your strength tonight and your power? And would we be tender, I pray, and sensitive to the Word of God and be challenged to go back to the beginning as we consider the institution of marriage, the match that you made in heaven in the beginning. And Lord, that we would constantly, as it relates to our own marriages and homes, be harking back to the book, going back to the basics. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It is so vital for us to follow Christ's pattern as it relates to our own marriages, our own homes, answering the marriage and the home issues of the day, the importance of getting back to the basics. I was reminded in studying this week of the story of the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers. You would have to know, with men in the room and preaching on marriage, I had to use an illustration on football. I'm not a huge NFL fan, but Vince Lombardi in 1960, the Green Bay Packers had lost in the NFL championship. They had lost the lead in the final game, ended up losing the game. In the offseason, a lot of the players had gotten together and came up with all kinds of fancy schemes and ideas as to how they could come back in 1961 and win the championship. But the day they met to begin preseason training, Vince Lombardi walked into the locker room and held up a football, and with deaf ears to all of the fancy ideas, he's famed to have stood up, held up a football, and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." He took his team back to the basics. And apparently it worked because they won the championship in 61 and in 62. Getting back to the basics. Now, in the day and age in which we're living, there is a frustration that comes with the sin-cursed earth and all the problems that attack and mar the institution of marriage in the home. There's a frustration of being short of God's ideal because of the fallen condition. 6,000 years of the curse of sin. And when you have two sinners living together, getting married and having little sinners. My dad... We had no trouble when it came time to get saved. We had no trouble understanding we were sinners because my dad would look at us from the time we were in a pumpkin seat and say, "Biblically, you are a dirty, rotten little sinner." We had no trouble understanding we were sinners. But two sinners get married and they have more little sinners. And we have several options as we think about the effects of the curse of 6,000 years of the fall on the earth and two sinners having more little sinners. We can, as Christians, we can settle for mediocrity and just kind of limp along until we get by. Or we can surrender to man's ideas that have failed miserably and will continue to fail. Or we can strive for the Maker's ideal. I want you to understand something. There are no design flaws in the Maker's original. Now, are we dealing with sinners? Yes. Are we dealing with 6,000 years of the effects of the curse of sin? Yes. But when it comes to God's institution of marriage, there is nothing wrong with His institution, with His design. And so marriage is a match made in heaven. We look at the blessings that God placed upon the institution of marriage at the very beginning. And there is such abundance of God's blessing, even with sinners involved now. And even with the 6,000 years of the effects of the curse of sin, there is such abundance of the grace of God and the blessing of God that is still to be experienced, that is still available to overcome even the effects of sin and the curse. We must lay hold of that in faith. I want you to understand tonight that when it comes to following God's ideal, though we are dealing with the curse of sin, that there are still so many blessings to have, that it's not just a you can have it, but it is God's plan for you to have it. And when marriages go well in the plan of God, and when children are raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, it is not proper to look at that home and say, "Well, they're just lucky." There are Bible principles that are involved, and the grace of God that is tapped into is a wonderful resource. I want us to consider four cornerstones tonight. that we can realize if our marriages and our homes are to be following after and striving after this ideal. As we consider these cornerstones, number one, I would have us to realize that marriage is, we must understand this, marriage is God's institution. Marriage is God's ideal. It is God's idea. It is God's invention. Jesus harked back to it from 4,000 years later and said, from the beginning it was not so. And he harked back to God's instruction in Genesis for the institution of the home to give guidance for the homes of his day 4,000 years after creation. We've noticed in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, notice again if you would, and God said, let us, this is an evidence of the Trinity, God said, let us, three persons, one God, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Get this, marriage is God's idea, it's his design. Marriage is not a social construct that evolving cavemen hit on millions of years ago. Marriage is God's idea. It's interesting as well. Notice, if you would, the three first words of verse 26. And God said. It's a past tense verbal idea. The idea is this. And God had said prior to his saying, let us make man in our image, or prior to the creation of man, God had said. God had devised the plan. God had set in motion how this would be done. And it was one of the great determinations of divine counsel of the Trinity in eternity past. You think about the significance of that. The home was God's idea, the marriage between a man and a woman, and the one flesh evidence of the fruit of that home was God's idea in eternity past, even before day six. At the same time, if you would, in eternity past, in those eternity past divine councils, before creation ever began, the Bible tells us that that was the time when the Lamb was slain. Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. The work of redemption was determined even before creation. The Bible tells us that we've been chosen in Christ before the world began. And the Bible tells us that it was foreordained, preordained in eternity past that believers in Christ were to be conformed to the image of his Son, of Jesus Christ, and it was good works that were to describe their lives. And at the same time that these things were being planned, God was also planning marriage. Marriage is, the home is God's institution. When we think about design and a designer, we think about the importance of understanding the original intent of the designer and the importance of understanding the instruction of the designer when it comes to the daily operation of whatever he has instituted, as well as when something goes wrong, how to repair it and how to recalibrate it. All of those things, the original intent and the daily operation and the repair and the recalibration of an invention or an institution are best given by the original designer. And the original designer is God himself. Sadly, many, including Christians, have surrendered to man's ideas when it comes to the home and marriage and child rearing. There are people, as John Roseman says in his book, there, we're taking our advice, if we're not careful, from people with lots of capital letters after their names. But they have no knowledge of God in their hearts and no common sense in their heads. To tell people how to find the right spouse, how to marry, how to raise children, how to determine God's will. Several years ago, Jenny and I were out on a date, and I went in the bathroom to wash my hands, and I'll never forget this. This 9-year-old boy was in the bathroom all by himself, and he was washing his hands when I was washing my hands, and he looked at me, and he gave me his name, and he said, I'm 9. And I acknowledged his name. I said, pleasure to meet you. He said, I'm 9, and do you know, 9 years old, he said, do you know that I'm already involved in a relationship? I got to tell you, I didn't know what to say to that. 9 years old? And in a relationship, I have to tell you, the first thought I had was, where are his parents? Where are his parents? We're listening to the world and people with all kinds of PhDs piled high and deep behind their names. And all the while, the originator of the institution of marriage in the home stands by, neglected, ignored, and scorned. When he's there all the time and his plan is there all along. It is God's invention. I'm reminded of the story of an old farmer driving a Model T down the road, and it broke down on the side of the road. And as he was there tinkering with it, trying to get it running, up alongside of him came a brand new Ford. The man driving the brand new Ford pulled next to him up in front of him and got out of the car. He was in a white business suit and a white hat, and he came up and leaned over the open hood of this old broken down Model T, and he said to the farmer, what seems to be the problem? And the old farmer was skeptical of a man in a brand new Ford with a white suit, and he said to him, he goes, I'm not sure you would know. He said, by the looks of you, you probably have never worked on a car. The man said, try me. My name is Henry Ford. We live in a world of broken homes, broken marriages, difficulties, dysfunctionality. And all along, the God who designed the home stands by. And so the first cornerstone of a match made in heaven is to realize that the marriage relationship in the home is God's idea, it's God's institution. Secondly, and these final 3 points will move quickly, I want you to notice number 2, marriage is the match made in heaven, and a second cornerstone is that marriage has been invested with God's blessing. Notice God's investment. Verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God, what's the word? Blessed them. And notice, he didn't just bless the man, he blessed them, the man and the woman. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Blessing speaks of God's provision. It speaks of God's pleasure. He's investing his blessing, his provision, and he's doing so with pleasure. Have you ever had someone provide for you, but you could tell they begrudged it? Okay. Reminded of the story of George Whitefield going to ask a wealthy man in colonial America for a donation to his orphanage. And the guy begrudgingly reached in his pocket and pulled out a smaller amount than he knew he should have given. And George Whitefield shocked the man and said, I don't want it because you're begrudging it. You don't want to give that amount. And God's telling you to give a different amount. And finally, the man said, okay. And he pulled out his checkbook and wrote an even larger amount and said, that's what I'm supposed to give. You ever met someone who gave begrudgingly? They provided begrudgingly. This word blessed, though, speaks not just of providing, but doing so with pleasure. And God has invested the marriage in the home with his blessing. It is God's institution. It is invested with God's blessing. The Bible tells us God blessed them. He gave them his provision and his power to accomplish his commands, and he did so with pleasure. Now, right about now, one of the astute believers of Crossroads Baptist Church is saying, but Pastor, this was before the fall. But I want you to know that God has invested the same word of blessing upon homes after the fall too. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at Psalm 127 again, if you would. We've been in this passage, these two passages, several times. I want you to notice how many times the word happy and blessed is used as it relates to the home and conducting our homes God's way. Let me just say this before we go any further. I intended to say this earlier in the message. I know, as I've mentioned the previous two messages, there are homes here with scars, with baggage, some with divorce and remarriage in the past, some with other hurts, with other burdens. And the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy 24 and 1 Corinthians 7, if I can just sum it up this way, okay? Begin pursuing the blessings of God in the marriage you're in right now. The marriage you're in from here on out. And that needs to be the goal and the focus. Even if there's divorce and remarriage, even if there's heartache in the past, abide in the calling where you are, in the place where you are. Paul makes it clear, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But notice, if you would, Psalm 127, verse number 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of thy youth." Verse number 5, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Verse number 1 of chapter 128, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be," what's the word, "blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." So the promised attachment of blessing to the institution of marriage and the home is given even post-fall, post-entrance of sin. Get this, we still live on an amazing earth. As I look at the earth that we've been given the opportunity to inhabit even after 6,000 years of the ravages of the curse of sin, look at how wonderful this earth still is. And what a place for us to fulfill God's will. The fruit of the earth that is still produced. And as we focus even more specifically, the blessings that the homes in this church have as it relates to living in the United States of America. We have the guidance of the fellowship of the Lord and the Word of God. We'll say more about that in our final point. Not to mention the grace of God, even once sin entered the world, the redemption plan was set in motion by God so that fellowship could be restored as a blessing in marriage. In a sense, we seek the blessing of God in our homes, but I want us to understand too that in truth, our homes, because they are His institution, are already blessed by God. Because of the fact that we've been given everything that we need. Those blessings in many ways are waiting to be accessed. The Bible tells us that God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And as we humble ourselves to God's design and to God's grace and to God's provision, His blessing continues to be accessible to the homes that seek and strive after His institution, His plan. I don't know if you've noticed it in the news. A Bitcoin cryptocurrency investor by the name of Gerald Cotton, who had 115,000 separate investors invest in his Bitcoin business, cryptocurrency. I'm not exactly sure all that's involved with electronic money. But 115,000 investors totaling $190 million. And in November of last year, at 30 years of age, Gerald Cotton died with all of the passwords up here to get into all of these storage accounts for this $190 million. With all of those passwords up there, and so now some of the best hackers and code crackers in the world have been called in and they can't get into $190 million. It's an average of $1,600 or so per investor. I did the arithmetic. I was interested. But I want you to know something. When it comes to the abundance of God's blessing and the riches of His grace, access is readily available to those who will humble themselves for it. There's no code that has to be cracked. We've been given all the information that we need in the Word of God and in the grace of Jesus Christ. And so the first cornerstone of the match made in heaven is understanding that it is God's institution. Number two, seeing that it is invested by God, it's invested into by God with His blessing. Number three, we have to understand a third cornerstone. Marriage is shaped by God's intention, His purposes. As we look at the passages that we've read this evening, and we'll delve more deeply into this as we look individually in messages at the role of the husband and the role of the wife. But as we look at verse number 18, chapter 2, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet," a helper corresponding to face to, that completes, that complements the man. Men, remember, you are not complete without your wife. The Bible makes that clear. The wife completes the man for the full intention of God's plan to be accomplished. The marriage relationship and God's intention was also for companionship. It's interesting. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. In addition to fellowship with the divine, get this, God placed a high premium upon the fellowship that a husband and wife experience in the marriage relationship. Men, ladies, your spouse should be your best friend. Our spouses should be our best friend. It's not her friends and his friends and our best friend, men, being another man. Our best friend should be our wives, and we should cultivate that. God's intention shapes the match that is made in heaven, both as it comes to completing and the roles of the spouse, both as it comes to the issue of companionship, as it relates to children. I want to make this is no slight. There is a gift of singleness that God speaks about. And this is no slight on the gift of singleness. And we could look at 1 Corinthians 7 to understand the importance of that gift that God gives. Nor is this a slight on those whose marriage is childless. They would have had children if they could, but for some reason were unable to do so. And we see many times in folks like that, that they invest their lives in the work of the Lord. They invest their lives in others, even though God did not give children to their marriage. Many of us who are alumni of Ambassador Baptist College would say that one of the greatest influences in many of our lives were Ernest and Anita Childs. A Bible college professor and his dear wife, who God never gave them children, but they had multiplied children in ministry. And what a blessed role and privilege it is for folks who fit that role. But God's intention for children, God's intention in the marriage relationship for the communication of His revelation and the knowledge of God from one generation to the next, and the message of redemption. As we think about Abel learning and modeling the message of redemption, it has been taught to Adam and Eve by God, and then how Abel models that, and on it goes, picturing the work of redemption in anticipation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many other things that we could mention, especially as we look at this in light of New Testament revelation, the intention of God, marriage, the intention of God for the marriage relationship. Let me say this to husbands and wives, that one of God's greatest platforms for accomplishing the work of sanctification is your marriage relationship. Marriage exposes us at the deepest, ugliest levels. And we have a choice when the marriage relationship and the intimacy of it exposes all of those parts of us that do not yet look like Jesus Christ and have not been changed into his image yet, we have a choice. Am I going to push back? Am I going to blame shift? Am I going to say, the woman that thou gavest me? Or am I going to understand arm in arm, side by side with my sister in Christ, who is my wife, that we are both in the process of sanctification and God is using this marriage relationship to make both of us more like Jesus Christ. So these different aspects of God's intention. I want you to understand something. Sin did not change God's intention for the home in so many ways. Yes, it does complicate it. It does add sorrow to it. But listen to this, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so God's intention, our marriages, the match made in heaven is shaped by God's intention. It is God's institution. It is invested with God's grace and blessing. And fourthly and finally, a final cornerstone that I would have us to consider as we think about marriage in the home being a match made in heaven, and that is this. We, praise the Lord, have been given God's instruction. God's instruction. Did you notice a phrase that gets used numerous times here? Notice Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28. And God blessed them, and what are the next five words? And God said unto them. Notice verse 29, continuing to speak to Adam and Eve, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed. Look over, if you would, at chapter 2 in the verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Gives him instruction about keeping and dressing the garden. Verse 16, and the Lord God, what's the word? Commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, from the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You noticed what those three statements that we just considered show us? They show us that God, in instituting marriage and investing it with his blessing and showing us his intention, shaping the marriage relationship with his intention, he has also given us his instruction. The manual, the owner's manual, the designer's manual for how to have a marriage that models the Bible pattern. God's instruction, God's word. And I want you to notice the devil attacked the home, and it should be an indication to us of the importance of the home. The object of an enemy's attack is a demonstration of the importance of that particular institution. And the devil immediately attacked the home after it had been instituted. And I want you to notice how he began his attack. Verse 1, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, what is it? Yea, hath God said? Do you get that? And God said, and God said, and God commanded. And the first attack on the home is the devil saying, did God say? The importance of instruction, living by the manual. When an invention or an institution is not working as it should, as it's intended by the designer, we are to go back to the design manual, not our own devices, but back to the beginning. In marriage, in the home, the match truly made in heaven. 4,000 years after the invention of marriage, when faced with the accumulation of the 4,000 years of the effects of sin on marriage in the home, Jesus and Paul did not go to PhDs. They went to, thus saith the Lord. From the beginning, it was not so, Jesus said. And I will say this, even 2,000 years beyond the time of Christ and the Apostle Paul, that has made no difference God's instruction manual still stands for the home. I cannot emphasize enough as I conclude tonight the vital importance of the Bible to a home that strives after the ideal of the match made in heaven, that fits God's design. I cannot emphasize enough not only the vital importance of the Bible, but the person of Christ being recognized in the home. Again, and I say this, and I will continue to say it, we do not serve a Christ who was. We serve a Christ who is. And He comes to us through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. His presence is real in our homes. And I cannot emphasize enough as well, in addition to the vital importance of the Bible and the person of Christ recognized in the home, the importance of Christ-likeness, following Christ, to realizing the home as heaven's embassy on earth, so that our marriages and homes can be heaven's embassy on earth, and so that our marriages and homes, though we have two sinners that gave birth to more little sinners, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the institution is still God's. And the instruction manual is still the Bible. His intention still is available. And He has invested the home with His blessing. My wife is one of the, no, I'll just say it this way, the best cook I know. In 21 years of marriage, it'll be the end of this month, 21 years of marriage, she's only fixed one bad meal. That's okay, you can laugh. I've told this story before to others. I don't think I've ever told it in the pulpit. And this is no embarrassment to her. And my mother's on her way out tomorrow to visit with us. And my mom, if she was here, she would say that cooking was not her thing. Now, she cooked, but it was all casseroles and carbohydrates because she had five teenage bodies she had to keep filled. But now, my wife came from a home, and she has modeled it in our home where food is a big deal, and I say, praise God. I just have never gotten it. People talk about, you eat just for survival. No, I eat for enjoyment. And I'm not afraid to say it. If we just eat for survival, then explain to me why we're going to eat in the millennial kingdom as glorified individuals. With a body that doesn't need food to survive. Apparently, it's so we can enjoy it. Okay. That's a little Nathanism. Jenny's only fixed one bad meal. And it wasn't bad because she burned anything or got things mixed up. It was bad because of a substitution that she made that she did not warn me about. We were having guests over, and this was a number of years ago, and she substituted thinly sliced eggplant for lasagna noodles in lasagna. That is wrong. She's laughing, by the way. She's sitting here laughing. Thankfully, the guests that we had that night loved eggplant. But lasagna is meant to have lasagna noodles in it. Amen? Okay. And it's even better as leftovers. It's one of those rare dishes that is better as a leftover. I say this as it relates to lasagna. Don't mess with the original. It's perfect just like it is. All we need to do is follow the recipe. And as it relates to marriage in the home, I say the original is just fine. It doesn't need any changes. Let's follow the recipe for a match made in heaven. Father,